This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're about to have a new GOP Senate leader. It might be Rick Scott. Senator Scott is going to join us. Senator Marsha Blackburn joins us. Dr. Kevin Roberts of Project 2025. All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's have a talk, shall we? This is a talk about Trump's transition team, post-election, and we're going to get to the Senate leadership stuff first and foremost. Trump has been out there filling up his cabinet. That's what he's been doing. They have been vetting people, they've been interviewing people, and the choices are starting to come down. We have Marco Rubio been formally announced Secretary of State. Tom Holman, of course, going to be the border czar. Michael Walls, former Green Beret, Florida, really like Michael Walls, going to be a national security advisor. Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff, Okay, so there's a lot of people. The cabinet is starting to fill up, okay? And here's what can happen. And I'm guilty of this. What I'm about to say, I'm guilty of, I've done it before, and I'll probably do it this time. We people on the right, we're not used to wins. And when we get big wins, we want to do as much good as humanly possible. I do, and I know you do. So when they start filling up their cabinets, we start to look for all the bad. And that's fine to vet these people. And if Trump is bringing in a lot of devious snakes like he did last time, it's fine to scream about it. And you know I will. Believe me, I will. I'm going to. Right now, from what I see so far, I'm very, very pleased. Is everything perfect? No. But at least things are clear. Let's talk about Marco Rubio first and foremost. Marco Rubio for Secretary of State. Well, remember, first, Secretary of State, that is the diplomacy position. There is Secretary of State. He's the one who wants to talk peace all the time. And then there's your Secretary of Defense, used to be called Secretary of War. That's a lot cooler. Your Secretary of Defense wants to bomb everywhere. So the Secretary of State's the peaceful guy. The Secretary of Defense wants everything calm or wants to bomb everything from here to ancient times. So Marco Rubio, who I have a lot of disagreements with, moving into the Secretary of State position, I'm okay with it. At least he's not going to be in the Senate voting for neocon positions, which he holds. And at least we'll have, instead of this endless tightrope walking, at least we'll have some sort of clarity from the Secretary of State. Remember what he said about Hamas and Israel?
Senator Rubio, will you call for ceasefire in Gaza?
No, I will not. On the contrary.
Senator Rubio, please.
Are you filming it? Wait, so I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about the civilians that are being killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas has stopped building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't care that 15,000 have died? You don't care about the babies that are being killed every day?
I think it's horrifying. I think it's terrible. And I think Hamas is 100% to blame. That's what I think. Make sure you post that, please.
Very clear. Okay. Rubio was an average senator. He's okay on some things. He really sucked on some other things. He's no longer in the United States Senate. He's going to be Donald Trump's Secretary of State for, I assume, the next 4 years. You can sit and comb through his Senate record and find all kinds of garbage in there. I have no problem doing that. I've screamed at Rubio 1,000 times. But Rubio moving to Secretary of State, I'm fine with it. Totally fine with it. Perfect? No. Totally fine with it. Why would I take away the joy I have of the election over Marco Rubio? I wouldn't. Tom Holman, we've already brought up Tom Holman. I don't need to go into it again, being the border czar. That shows commitment to mass deportation. That's good. Susie Wiles, chief of staff, a very, very serious, smart person. No more of this idiocy in the White House. That's what that tells me. Stephen Miller, good. Now, there are other things people are complaining about, understandably so. Allegedly, rumor has it, it's being widely reported, but that Kristi Noem is going to potentially be the next head of DHS. Now, Kristi Noem, who has said things like this in the past.
They came into our country illegally. They need to be deported. They just do. They broke our federal law. They need to go home and come here correctly. We're either a nation of laws or we're not a nation of all. And right now, the problem is we've got President Biden setting a poor example. He's being a leader who's knowingly violating federal law, and that is putting us in a very dangerous situation. I've declared the southern border a war zone. It's an invasion of our country.
Sounds good. I don't know whether she's going to get in there and enforce everything that needs to be enforced. Yes, I understand the problems you have or I may have with certain aspects of Kristi Noem's record. Again, Kristi Noem is not perfect legislatively, and that's okay. Her being head of DHS is just fine. I promise you, cross my heart and hope to die, if I start seeing a bunch of evil, ignorant filth filling up the Trump administration again, I will sound the alarm. We are getting a pretty good team in there. Lee Zeldin, head of the EPA, that's a great pick. Mike Huckabee was announced earlier today, ambassador to Israel. That's a great pick. These are good picks. Perfect? No, because they're all politicians. There aren't perfect ones. These are the ones you got, all right? Now on to the real, real, real important things. And I'm not dismissive of Secretary of State and DHS, these are obviously critical positions. Attorney General, as I've said, that's the one to watch. That's the big boy. If that one is flimsy at all, it's a disaster because that person needs to clean out the Justice Department, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And the person who is going to be Trump's AG is going to have to be confirmed by the United States Senate. Senate leadership, the vote is tomorrow. Of course, it's a silent vote. A bunch of worthless cowards won't tell everyone how they're voting. And I've been telling you for a while, I'm not Johnny come lately on this. I didn't come up with this issue when everyone else started talking about it. I've been hot on what a problem this is going to be for a while. The list of potential replacements is really bad. It is. Yes, there is a chance a more conservative upstart like Rick Scott can mount some sort of a revolution within the Senate GOP and maybe take over. That's probably about the best we could hope for. But the truth is, there have been a couple guys who've been gunning for this leadership spot for a long time, sucking up to Mitch McConnell, proving to the DC swamp that they're team players, of course, that they'll play ball. And those two names are John Cornyn, he's much less likely, and John Thune from the blood red state. John Thune, who should have been primaried forever ago. But of course he's handsome and speaks very well on TV. So the moron GOP primary voter goes out and votes for him every time. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate minority or majority leader. Saw it coming a while ago. And it's bad. It's bad if it's Thune or it's Cornyn, because those two will view their roles differently than you view their roles. You and I, understandably, would view having a Senate, a House, and a presidency after an election as a mandate to drain the swamp, secure the border, and do some good. John Cornyn and John Thune would 100% view their roles as stopping that. They want business to continue as usual. And so likely, by the time we go to bed tomorrow, one of these two men are going to be the new majority leader.
Under the effective leadership of Director Ray, the agency has remained committed to doing things independently and by the book, which I think is perhaps the most important characteristic.
We worked with the NRA, listened to their concerns, but in the end, I think they simply, they have a They have a membership and a business model that will not allow them to support any legislation.
John Cornyn of Texas told CBS News he simply doesn't think Donald Trump can get elected president. Quite a statement from Senator Cornyn. John Thune of South Dakota says America is going to have to decide whether it wants to deal with, quote, all the drama.
Donald Trump is the Republican nominee. Would you support him?
Well, I'm hoping, Leanne, to have other options.
Too many Americans live in fear that what happened to George Floyd could happen to their own fathers and sons and brothers. Too many Americans see in law enforcement officers individuals to be feared rather than trusted. Americans are ready for all of that to end. They want reform and increased accountability.
And let's remember, not to beat everyone up, because we're all in a good mood right now, and we should be, but let's remember whose fault it is. Jesse, why do we have these crappy choices? John Cornyn is from Texas, blood red. John Thune is from South Dakota, blood red. How do we have loser senators like this? Because whenever Donald Trump was on the ballot for president, the GOP primary voter marches into the streets by the million to make sure they work hard for him and get him elected. As soon as Trump's off the ticket, that GOP primary in Texas, the MAGA hats get put away, everyone sits at home, no one cares anymore, only they look around one day and say, why do we have these rhinos? Because GOP primary voters are lazy and stupid in red states. That's why we have these rhinos. Until the GOP primary voter cares as much about his primary in his red state as he does about voting for Donald Trump, we will continue to have options like John Cornyn and John Thune in the United States Senate. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, we are going to talk to a couple senators tonight. Marsha Blackburn, Rick Scott is here. Dr. Kevin Roberts is here. It's going to be a great show. First, let's talk about preborn. Let's save a life real quick, shall we? Preborn saves lives. 200 babies a day. That's what you do when you give to preborn. How do they do it? Well, they put up these clinics in the highest abortion areas in the country. They go right into the belly of the beast. And they find these young women who are about to have abortions, and they offer them free ultrasounds. If they can get her in, if they're successful, she chooses life almost every time. When a woman hears that heartbeat, she chooses life. $28. That's what the ultrasound costs. And you know, preborn's tax deductible. You can give them $28,000 for all I care. It's tax deductible. Save a life and write it off on your taxes. Preborn.com/Jesse. Go save a life. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Rick Scott is our majority leader. Here's a serious individual, very successful person in the private sector, successful governor of Florida. You know, he wants to challenge these issues. I'm not sure the other people running necessarily do.
Wholeheartedly agree, and joining us now is the man who hopefully, fingers crossed, is going to be the next Senate majority leader, senator from the great state of Florida, Rick Scott. Senator, okay. How's it looking right now? Don't blow smoke on me. Are you looking good? Is it a disaster? Where are we at?
I'm optimistic, but there's so many of my colleagues that just they're not saying where they are. So, you know, I'm going in. We're having a dinner tonight. It's a little frustrating because everybody can't be there. And then tomorrow they've just told me that, you know, we get to make our pitch, but we don't get there's not going to be a Q&A. But I mean, they're trying to rush this, but that's, you know, there's not much I can do about it. So here's my pitch. My pitch is real simple. I support Donald Trump's agenda, number one, wholeheartedly. He got a mandate. Let's get it done. That's one. Number two is I have the background to get things done. I'm a business guy. I built the largest hospital company. I built a variety of manufacturing companies. I was the governor of Florida. We turned our economy around in Florida. So I know how to get things done. You set up, you have a goal, you build a team, you create a plan, you create the measurement systems, and you keep working it every day to get it done. That's what we need up here. We have big problems. Let's get them fixed.
Senator, what are you guys having for dinner?
I don't know. It's what they have up here is chicken and a little bit more chicken, and they have a little bit more chicken.
See, I was hoping that I would hear something fancy. You're freaking United States senators. I figured it would be steak and lobster or something nice or something. Maybe that's the key, Senator. Maybe you need to foot the bill and get some lobsters and steaks in there, and let's buy some votes. We need you in there.
That I didn't think about that. I don't know if that's it's too late to do that. I think some people might be trying to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. In all seriousness, why the secret ballot? Help us, for those of us on the outside looking in, I will never be a senator, and most people watching won't. Why a secret ballot? Why is this something that's not done in the open? Why won't your colleagues tell you whether or not they're backing you? This seems confusing to people who are watching and saying, why isn't this open? Right? Why can't we all see? Why?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Look, you know how I vote on everything else. You know how I vote on judges. You know how I vote on every nominee. You know how I vote on every bill. I don't get this. And I don't understand why this is it's rushed. We have new senators, new Republican senators. I mean, they just start orientation, I think, today. And so tomorrow they've got to vote for the next 2 years. And maybe for, you know, it's hard to change once somebody gets elected. So who's going to be the majority leader? So, you know, I don't get it. But look, they did this 2 years ago when I ran against McConnell. They rush the vote to the next day. So this is a way for people to try to reduce the chance that the outsider, the guy that wants to completely change how we work to basically maybe get something done, like balance a budget, secure the border, get more American jobs, you know, hold China accountable, make sure we're not in forever wars. The guy that wants to do that has a harder time getting something done.
Yeah, of course, because he's not in the business of Washington, which is what concerns me a great deal. I've made my thoughts very clear to everybody on the other two you're running against. I'm not going to ask you to do the same, but I have a great deal of concern about Trump's appointments getting confirmed if we don't have a solid enough leader in the Senate. But please tell me, shoot me down, is that a valid concern? Because I'm very worried about it.
Well, let's look at history. Under Bill Clinton, he got to do recess appointments. Under George W. Bush, he did, I think, 171 recess appointments. Even Barack Obama did 32. Trump, with 2 years of McConnell's leader, 2 years as Schumer's leader, got no recess appointments. So we've got to get his appointments done. If Schumer, which all the anticipation he'll continue to do what he's doing, tries to slow down the process so Trump can put his team together, then we've got to go into recess and let Trump put his team together. So I've been very clear. Trump has got to be able to put his team together. He got a mandate. We've got to allow him to govern. We know we have problems, and I just don't get it. Why they don't understand that Trump won a mandate? If these Democrats keep fighting Trump, that what they're going to do is then in 26 we'll pick up more Democrat seats. I don't get why these people don't realize Trump won with a mandate, won the popular vote, over 300 electoral votes. I mean, he kicked her butt because Harris's policies and Democrat policies are horrible for your family.
What this GOP leadership in sickness in D.C., it's just been going on for years and years and years, as long as I've been involved politically. What is it about the swamp that they love so much? They've been like this forever. The names change, but it's always the guys in leadership are constantly screwing over the Republican base, new Republican presidents. Why? Help us understand.
It doesn't make sense to me. I've been up here 6 years, and I've never understood it. First off, I've never understood how all senators are not part of the decision-making process. Since I've been up here, there's been two dictatorships, the McConnell dictatorship and the Schumer dictatorship. They decide the bills. We don't even have bills that go through committee. And once they go through, the Schumer and McConnell decide on a bill, they just put it on the floor, no amendment votes. So my only choice is to say yes or no. If I don't like it, I can't even try to amend it, nothing. This doesn't make any, I never envisioned it would be like this. I thought the U.S. senator, one, I would have the ability to propose a bill, have it heard. If I can't get 60 votes, that's my problem. If I don't get a vote, that's leadership's problem. So it doesn't make sense. I said, we're going to have amendment votes. Our bills are going to go through committee. We're going to get the Trump agenda accomplished. Through hell or high water, Trump's agenda will get accomplished.
You find it frustrating to go from being a CEO and a governor to being a senator with no voice, don't you? It sounds like an upgrade for a lot of people, but it's a downgrade for you, isn't it?
Well, you know, nice thing is that being a CEO, but you know, a strong CEO, here's what they do. They do what I'm proposing. Build a team, have a plan, constantly measure yourself, make sure everybody around you is successful, and you're probably going to be a successful CEO. That's what I did as governor. We added 1.7 million jobs. We became number one in higher education, top five in K-12 education, 47-year loan requirement. I didn't do it because I was a dictator. I did it because I brought people along. That's what we need with a leader here. We need somebody who's going to take all the input and bring everybody together, say, hey, we're going to go down this path because it's good for the people of your state. Now, I'm going to take your ideas. I'm going to implement their ideas and this person's ideas to get something done. It's not going to be one person makes the decision. The bottom line is this. Do you support Trump's agenda or not? If you don't support Trump's agenda, you're probably not going to elect me. Are you going to elect somebody that knows how to create a process to get things done? That's what I'm offering. I believe I'm going to win. My colleagues have said that's what they want. I hope that's what the vote comes out tomorrow.
Senator, moving off of this, what can we do with 53 seats? It's not 60, but it ain't 49 either. We do have 53 seats. Obviously, we can do something legislatively. What is realistic, though?
Well, number one, all of the nominees can get done. All the nominees can get done because, you know, all those nominees can get done with 51 votes. So all those nominees, actually with 50 with J.D. Vance. So all the nominees can get done. It's just, you know, it takes time. So we can get all those done. Number two is all the tax, the Trump tax cuts can get redone to keep them because we can do that with 51 votes through reconciliation. So all those things can happen. Now, I'm optimistic. My experience in my business life is if I talk to people, you can find common ground. Look, Democrats are getting hurt by having an open border. So hopefully there's seven Democrats that want to do everything they can to make sure we fix our border problem. I hope there's seven Democrats that will come along and make sure we help, make sure we don't have a woke military. I hope there's seven Democrats that say we've got to start creating full-time jobs. So my goal is to bring people together, have conversations. And by the way, you need to work with the House of Representatives. That's why I built a very good working relationship with Speaker Johnson, Tom Emmer, Steve Scalise, and the conservatives in the House, because it takes both.
Senator, we are pulling for you. Good luck. Go get them tomorrow. Let's hope. If we lose that one, it's going to hurt. Keep marching on. Anyway, switch your phone. Switch your phone service. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn next. We'll ask her who she's planning on voting for. But before we get to that, you need to switch cell phone service. Verizon is a horrible company. It's what they do with your money that's extra terrible. AT&T, T-Mobile, these companies hate you. They hate me. They hate our values. They hate what we stand for. And they take the money we give them. And they do the worst things with it. Pure Talk has never done that. It will never do that. Pure Talk loves this country. They hire Americans. That means so much to me. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, you'll find you're speaking to someone who speaks English. It's wonderful. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and switch today. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I invite every Tennessean to work with me, fight with me as we protect our freedoms and our liberties, and fight with me so that we have less government, so that we stop the overspending in Washington and get this debt under control. So that we restore our standing in the world and rebuild our military, and we get that border secured, and that we protect our children and make certain that when it comes to protecting our girls in sports, that we know what a woman is and we know what a man is.
I still can't believe how insane the communists are. How did the whole trans thing, how did that ever even get started? It's wild that a U.S. senator even has to say that. Joining me now, senator from the great state of Tennessee, and now she's going to be parked there for another 6 years, which we love, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, 53 looks a lot better than 49. What can we do with it?
And what we can do is make certain we get the Trump agenda passed and signed into law. You know, Jesse, the American people voted, and they have sent a mandate to Congress. The Trump agenda is what they want done. They want the tax cuts made permanent. They want the border secured. They want to fill out this administration so that we reduce the size of the federal government. That means you've got to have cabinet secretaries that are going to start drawing a red line through a lot of what this administration, the Biden administration, has done and what the Trump administration can get in here and reorganize the federal government so that it is more efficient and costs the taxpayer less money. We also want to make certain that our allies know that they can depend on us, our enemies fear us. And yes, as I said, people want to protect our children. They want to make certain that girls' sports are for girls, and that you don't have boys playing in girls' sports.
Yeah, I can't believe that's a partisan thing. But anyway, I'm glad we have to take that stance at this point in time. Okay, as far as reducing the size of this government, something you've been hot on for quite some time, can we do it? Government employees are famously very difficult to get rid of. You can't fire these freaking leeches. They get in there and they just stay attached to you forever. What can be done? What's realistic?
This is why reorganization is so vitally important. And I have encouraged the administration to freeze federal spending and federal hiring on day one. I think if President Trump did that, made it retroactive to January 1st of 2025, then that would prohibit a lot of these people getting pay raises or elevations in their rating. But Jesse, when you reorganize the federal government, what you do is eliminate positions that are no longer necessary. And then those individuals, their job has been deleted, and they would have to find another position, or they would have to go to the private sector. The way I've looked at it is this. If you say all total, we've got 4 million federal employees spread across the country, and every year we have about 80,000 resignations and retirements out of that number. Then if you just froze federal hiring, that helps you get to that spot where you need to be. The other thing is, if you're going to be a federal employee, you need to be showing up for work every day. We've got departments like the Veterans Affairs Department, where people that work in veterans healthcare, those caseworkers, work only 5 days out of 10. 10 days is the pay period. They work 5 out of 10 in person. Those that are in VA benefits can work remotely 8 out of 10 days. They only have to show up 1 day a week in the office. We need to put a halt to that. People need to go back to work and get their job done.
Senator, let's talk about the Senate leadership race. That's what's on everyone's mind right now. John Cornyn, John Thune, Rick Scott, they've all been campaigning and jockeying and donating money for this thing for quite some time, trying to get to that Mitch McConnell spot now that McConnell's stepping down. Who do you like for this and why?
You know, Jesse, we've got a forum tonight. I'm going to be there. I've got my list of questions. We've got three good guys. I've reached out to Rick Scott, haven't heard back yet. Look forward to that conversation. And what I want to do is see what their game plan is for getting President Trump's agenda across the finish line and signed into law. We should make that item number one. We need to move quickly. That first 100 days is going to be vitally important. We have to have a Senate Majority Leader and the other positions, our whip, our conference chair, our policy chair, all have to be people that are supportive of President Trump and are going to push to get this agenda finished in the Senate and then to President Trump's desk for his signature. So who is going to be able to do that? That is what I'm looking for answers to, because the imperative is we have to pass the president's agenda. We have to get this country back on the right track.
Senator, what happens between now and the day Trump and the new Senate and the new House is sworn in? We all know Democrats with their dirty tricks. Everyone's already heard about Elizabeth Warren. She's got a list of judges she's going to try to cram in there. What can we stop? Can we stop all of it, some of it, none of it? Do we just have to lay here helplessly for 2 months while they abuse us?
Well, the power in the Senate moves from Democrat to Republican on January 3rd. That is when we reconvene and when we are sworn in. That day is January 3rd. So it is protecting that space between now and January 3rd when we have the majority. When it comes to these nominees they're trying to put on the federal bench, you've got activists that have never been a judge. And now they want to go be a federal district judge or go to the appellate court. These are individuals. It is going to be important for us to block these individuals. If they have never been a judge, if they have no experience in appellate law and they want to go to the appellate court, if they're an activist that has worked for a nonprofit, then what we need to do is make certain that we have constitutionalists, people that are going to abide by precedent and the rule of law.
Okay, so that'll be none of them if Democrats are the ones putting them up. I mean, they're clearly not going to go for constitutionalists, and you and I both know exactly which kind of turbo freak nonprofits they're going to be snatching these people out of. You know what the game is. Can we stop them?
Yes. It is putting holds on these individuals. It is blocking them from moving forward in committee. It is reminding people what their answers to questions were when they came before us for the hearing. And we don't want activists from the left or the right. We don't want activists on the bench. People are looking for equal treatment under the law. And it is frustrating when they hear about two tiers of justice, when they witness two tiers of treatment, two tiers of access. And Jesse, I will tell you, I think that's one of the things that drove people to the ballot box and droves this election cycle. They don't like government being weaponized against citizens. They don't like two tiers of justice and two tiers of treatment. They want it to be equal, and they want it to be constitutional.
Senator, appreciate you very much. Congratulations again. All right. Dr. Kevin Roberts, the architect of Project 2025, is going to join us in a moment. Before he joins us, let's get your tea levels up. We might be facing some really great times here. Don't you want to feel good about it? Don't you want to be in a good mood? Gentlemen, you find yourself down a lot? I'm sad. I don't know why. It's because your tea levels are low. That's why you don't have any energy. Ladies, you're running out of gas at 2 or 3 in the afternoon? You need a female vitality stack from Chalk. Guys, you need a male vitality stack. Natural, herbal supplements. 90 days, you will feel like a brand new person. Probably sooner than that, but try it for 90 days and tell me how you feel. Want a big discount on it? Chalk.com/JesseTV is where you go get one. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Look, I'm not leaving the country, all right? I never said that. I was never one of these celebrities, D-list or otherwise, that was like, and if Trump gets reelected, I'm leaving the country and I'm going here and I'm going to do this. Obviously, I didn't want him to win. And, you know, what's going to happen now, especially with Project 2025, is yet to be seen how much they're going to do of it. But I definitely suggest that you read Project 2025. It's not that difficult of a read at all. It's not a book. But I have had the knock at the door. So don't come at me and don't be talking to me about, you know, you should be so scared, Kathy, and I'm sure you're packing your bags.
Well, that was hard to watch and hard to listen to. Anyway, nobody has gotten more free publicity for his thing than my next guest, the president of Heritage Foundation, Dr. Kevin Roberts, also author of a new book you should probably pick up, Dawn's Early Light, about saving this country. Doctor, how much free, if you had to guess, because you've been doing this a long time, how much money in free advertising do you think these crazy commies have provided you in Project 2025? It's endless. I've never seen marketing like this in my life. Well done.
Yeah, I think about $1 billion. I mean, basically what Kamala Harris raised for her ridiculous campaign. And can I just say, what knock has Griffin gotten on her door? I mean, what a preposterous assertion. But that's what's going on with so many of these unhinged lefties. The best thing we're going to do with Project 2025 is fix the ice cream machine at McDonald's.
Okay, so Project 2025 obviously got a lot of pub during the campaign. The commies tried to dump the whole thing in Trump's lap. Trump said, I don't know it. I don't have anything to do with it. But it is wonderful. And you and I have had this talk before about, it's a database. It's database, so we have good people to select from to start filling up these government roles. How's it looking?
It's looking great. You know, there are two parts to our project. One is the policies, which of course we do every day at Heritage in conjunction with over 100 other groups. But the real key part of this, the long-term part of this, is the personnel database. We have about 20,000 names there, way too early to prognosticate or even estimate what number of them will be asked by the current administration to go in. But I will say that the way it's looking is that the president-elect is hitting a grand slam. All of the names that have been confirmed thus far, starting with the chief of staff, Susie Wiles, to our visiting fellow at Heritage, Tom Homan, who's going to be the border czar, to my friend, Stephen Miller, deputy chief, to Marco Rubio, This is a stellar cabinet. And what I like about this the most, Jesse, to sum up here, is that it reflects where conservatism is right now. It doesn't reflect conservatism of 10 or 20 or 40 years ago. It is an honest to goodness, realistic view of where the country is. And I think they're going to do just a spectacular job.
I do too. And that almost makes me nervous how hopeful I am about everything I'm seeing. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect in Washington, D.C. But what is realistic, Kevin, if this is going to continue like this? What's a realistic hope for what he can get done in 4 years? It's just 4 years. There won't be another four after that. What can he do?
Well, I'll separate that into two parts. The first is what I think is realistic, perhaps even somewhat likely by next summer, so just 6 months in. You're going to see the border closed. You're going to see self-deportation of a majority of the illegal aliens who have come here. That's just the nature of what happens when there is a very strong administration administering the rule of law, not just at the southern border, Jesse, as you know, but also in the interior. That's what Tom Homan gets right so well. But then I think you're going to see the renewal of the Trump tax cuts early on. That's going to be a boon to the economy. And then thirdly, while I don't know which agency it will be, if I had to guess, and it is just a guess at this point, I do think that President Trump and Vice President Vance are going to pick a particular agency, whether that be the Department of Education or something else, and say, we're going to use this as an example to show to the American people of what it looks like to devolve power from Washington back to the states. And then with that head of steam legislatively, I think you're going to see massive deregulation through executive orders, perhaps even through Congress. We got to get past the good thing, the filibuster in the Senate. We don't have 60 votes and we have a very slim majority in the House. There's a lot of this action that requires legislation. And obviously as conservatives, we want that to happen. But I would think if we're sitting here talking a year from now, while it won't be perfect, politics can't be. That's not how policymaking goes, even with great men and great women involved. I think we're going to be really pleased.
We have a huge, huge leadership fight for who's going to be guiding the ship in the Senate. It's coming tomorrow. I've been vocally shouting for Rick Scott, and that is not as much of an endorsement as Rick Scott, actually, as much as it is I know exactly what John Thune and John Cornyn will mean. It'll just be a continuation of Mitch McConnell. You talked to Rick Scott today, didn't you?
I talked to Rick Scott yesterday and did something usually we don't do at Heritage, and that is we endorsed him. We usually let the members of the Senate and the members of the House make their own decisions. We respect that. But in this case, there's just too much at stake. Senator Scott is one of my best friends in Congress. He's just a real dude. I mean, he's just a guy you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with or a beer with. Very accomplished. Someone who understands, to your point, Jesse, that we cannot continue to do business as usual in Washington if, in fact, the Republicans come together and select Senator Scott as majority leader, along with, even though it's a slim majority in the House, having Speaker Johnson there, along with the executive branch. To your first question, how are things going to go? They're going to go a lot better because Rick Scott is not owned by K Street.
The others are, and I'm hoping Rick Scott gets it, but at this point in time, from what I hear, it doesn't sound good. What are you hearing?
Look, he started this as a long shot. As a long shot. And I think that those chances have improved. He certainly believes that he can win. I hope that he can. I will say that if it isn't him, then I was certainly gratified to see the letter that John Cornyn, who is sincerely a friend of mine from my Texas days, wrote to his colleagues. I think that offers some promise. This is the key thing. Whether Senator Scott wins or loses, there has to be a recognition by Republican senators that Mitch McConnell's days of running Capitol Hill are over. He might have done some good with judges. He might have done some good in the past. I certainly respect him personally, but it is time for him to move on and get out of the way so that we can implement what the popular will from the election is, which is that we must dismantle Washington's power over the rest of us.
Talk to me about this book, Dawn's Early Light. What's in it?
Well, it's a bit of a longer term view of where we go from here. Obviously, Heritage is very much involved in the short term. We registered a lot of voters and spent a lot of money on messaging in the campaign. But another part of our job, as you know, Jesse, is to articulate a vision about what America can look like. And picking up on this conversation, Fred, that you and I are having, which is an attempt to undermine the power of the deep state, undermine the power of the elites in Washington and New York, I use that as a pivot point to hopefully, I hope, inspire people with these words of Francis Scott Key, Dawn's Early Light, that we just might, in the 2020s, have an opportunity to reinvigorate the American dream by doing what? By getting Washington out of the way, by not only giving state and local governments more power, but very importantly, we can do something that every individual American plays a role in, and that's revitalizing our communities, revitalizing our civic associations, revitalizing, in fact, what makes America America, which is our relationships. That's the kind of thing that the radical left has tried to destroy by undermining our public schools, undermining our colleges and universities. And it's incumbent on us to realize that politics is not everything as important as, in fact, politics is.
Dr. Kevin Roberts, his book is The Dawn's Early Light. Go pick it up. Thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. Come back anytime. All right. We have one of my favorite light in the moods ever. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, let's lighten the mood. First, before we lighten the mood, make sure you go subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@JesseKellyDC. We put some extra things on there you can't really get anywhere else. And next, I've said before that the communists hate me, say I'm too harsh and all this other stuff. And I've said I'm an adorable teddy bear compared to the next generation that's coming. You want to hear from the next generation? Carson called into my radio show. This is what he said. Carson from Colorado, 12 years old. What's up, brother?
Hello, I'm Carson Gutzler, and I wanted to tell you that for Halloween, I dressed up as Donald Trump and went to my school and tried to piss off all the commie liberal teachers because it was really funny. They kept telling me to take my wig off and my hat. I wore a Make America Great Again hat. It was hilarious. All my friends were my bodyguards, and they were all conservative.
Carson, you give my best to your friends. Well done, young man. Well done. I'm telling you right now, we're going to be all right. I keep trying to tell these commies. They're always calling and complaining to corporate and emailing the show. Jesse's so mean. You think I'm mean? You wait until Carson's generation comes up. I'm an adorable little teddy bear compared to how hardcore these kids are now. The young boys, they've had enough of your mental illness. We're going to be all right. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.